grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. From the 22nd chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, the 41st through the 44th verses. And Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. We are told that when the Lord God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, calling him to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, he said to Moses, "Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." As we begin this series of Lenten meditations on St. Luke's account of Jesus' passion, we should keep in mind that we are entering into the very holy of holies of the Christian faith. The story of Jesus going to his death, that you and I might have life. All four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell this story in very simple, understandable words. But we can never fully plumb the depths of Christ's passion. We can only repeat what the inspired writers tell us of the holy sufferings of the Son of God. And if that is true of the entire passion history, and it is, it's perhaps especially true of the story of our Lord's agony of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, for St. Luke tells us that so great was the Savior's agony that his sweat was like great drops of blood, and that an angel from heaven came to strengthen him. After Jesus' celebration of the Passover feast with his disciples, after he had instituted the Holy Sacrament, and after singing the psalms appointed for the Passover celebration, the Savior and his disciples left the city and went to the Mount of Olives. Earlier in his gospel, St. Luke tells us that when Jesus was in Jerusalem during the day, he customarily went to spend the night on the Mount of Olives, and this was well known to the traitor Judas, who led the crowd which came to arrest the Savior. St. Luke tells us that when Jesus arrived in Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And then he withdrew from his disciples about a stone's throw. And although it was the Jewish custom to stand in prayer, Jesus in fact, kneels down. For the Jews, kneeling down was a sign of deep emotion. And so, kneeling in prayer, Jesus prays, "Father, if you will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We can never fully remove the veil of mystery that hangs over this prayer. And the mystery is this, that here Jesus prays that this suffering might be averted, and yet he'd come into the world for the very purpose of enduring this horror. Yes, with our own poor, imperfect powers of comprehension, we cannot fathom this mystery. We can only say that here the Son of God is seen to be truly and fully human, and that the weight of the suffering that was approaching was so terrible that in these moments he saw nothing but this crushing burden and prayed accordingly. Because it wasn't only the thought that he'd soon be in the hands of human fiends gloating over the pain they inflicted on him. It was this, that he might be spared this cup. And what is this cup? The poetry of the 75th Psalm points to the answer when the psalmist prays, "In the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, and he will pour a draught from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs." Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaks of the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. And through the prophet Jeremiah, God speaks of the cup of the wine of my wrath. The cup is the wrath of God. The judgment of God on sinners, which the Lord Jesus would suffer on the cross. In being baptized, the holy, innocent, perfectly obedient Son of God had taken his place among sinners, under the wrath of God, as our substitute, who for us and in our stead would suffer that wrath. St. Paul points to this mystery when he writes, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might be made the righteousness of God." God made his holy, innocent Son to be sin, to endure God's wrath, God's judgment on sin, that we who are sinners might be pardoned. No one can fathom what it meant that the sinless soul of the Savior bore this unspeakable burden of all the sins, the inconceivable crimes committed from the fall of Adam until the last and great day of judgment. Now, in all that our Lord did throughout his life, and especially in his passion, he is both our Savior and also our example. Father, if you will, take this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Citing the words of the 40th Psalm, which we prayed just a few moments ago, the author of the letter to the Hebrews shows how these words of the 40th Psalm are most truly the words of Christ. Lo, I have come to do thy will, O God. Then explains, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Not my will, but yours be done, was the prayer of the Savior. And it must also be the prayer of all who have been saved by him from the due reward of our sins, from eternal death, and from the accusations of Satan. No one needs to be told that it isn't always easy so to pray, not my will, but yours be done. When I was young and would bring to a truly wise and loving pastor my own perplexities about life, how I should think about it, what I should do, what I might hope for, he would often urge me to ponder some words of the poet Dante concerning the will of God. And the words are these: in his will is our peace. In his will is our peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.